Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody!
Tim, we have watched the movies.
We sure did.
And that's it. All the movies are watched. We're done here.
Yep. It really didn't even take that long. You would have thought it would take forever.
You know, a good idea would have been many hundreds of episodes ago to just been like, let's just watch them and be done with this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, all of them are basically a 6.7 anyways, right?
That's what IMDb would lead you to believe.
They sure would.
Just that way nobody's upset. Everybody's, you know, everybody gets the participation trophy. They get the 6.7 on IMDb trophy, and you just kind of, that's that.
Yeah. I like the rig you built so we could watch all the movies with all the old school TVs and the VCRs hooked up to them.
Yeah, it's just like Clockwork Orange. We just held our eyes open and that was that.
Yeah, it was fun, I tell you.
It wasn't, dry eye, though. But yeah, it was a slog, but we did it. We keep telling ourselves it was fun.
That's right. And, you know, I guess we just have to talk about the rest of the movies for the rest of time, even though we've already watched them all.
Shit. I didn't think about that part.
Yeah, we didn't record them all at the same time.
Oh, crap.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, back to the as scheduled podcast then, I suppose. Movies.
Movies. I got to. You got to. You want to kick it off or do you want to take it home?
I'll kick it off.
Alrighty.
This movie is from 2008 and it happens to be part of Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge. Bitch.
I watched this movie that I haven't named yet on October 11th, 2023. It is 1 hour and 47 minutes long. It is a crime thriller. It's directed by Martin McDonagh, starring Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, and Clemence Posey. Jared, if you haven't guessed the movie by now.
Oh, I know.
What is it, Tim?
I think it's Fright Night.
No.
Oh, it's the other one.
No, it is In Bruges.
In Bruges. In Bruges. Same thing.
It is not the Fright Night remake. That's a reasonable guess here. Colin Farrell is in both.
That's true.
So, your summary for this particular film. After a job gone wrong, Hitman Ray and his partner await orders from their ruthless boss in Bruges, Belgium, the last place in the world that Ray wants to be.
Uh-oh.
So in this movie, Colin Farrell plays a hitman, and he is supposed to be taking out a hit on a priest, and he accidentally murders a child in the process. And so now, because he's done this terrible thing of murdering a person, though that was what he was supposed to be doing, he is now going to be executed by his partner, played by Brendan Gleeson. So it's these two in Bruges, which is a lovely little town in Belgium, and they are sent there by Ray Fiennes, who is their ruthless boss, and they're awaiting his orders as things cool down, because now a kid's been killed, so there's a lot more police involvement, and things can't go under the radar, so they're trying to hide everything, smooth things over, and because of his kind of mistake, he has to be executed. And the movie's really good. It's like a dark comedy, and the whole time Colin Farrell just has this immense, terrible guilt, and he really has this hard time kind of recovering from the regret that he feels doing this, to like the point where he almost kills himself a couple of times in the movie.
Wow.
So it bounces from like very depressing to like bleakly funny in those times where things are really fucked up, but you kind of laugh anyway. It does a great job of kind of making that feeling come to life on the screen.
That's interesting. It felt like a dark comedy, your whole description of it.
Yeah, it's really a really fine line they walk, and it's really impressive how well Gleeson and Farrell sell this feeling. Like, it's like he tries to escape from it and tries to like ignore it and try to go away from it in hopes that like if I just hang out and get high and get drunk, it'll just be fine. But then when he's high and he's drunk, he's even more depressed about what he did, and he realizes how vulnerable he is and the terrible thing he's done and what he, like, it's really lovely. And then you see like Brendan Gleeson kind of feels bad for him, and now instead of trying to kill him, is actively trying to like talk him out of his depression and like, listen, you made a mistake, things happen, you can't just, killing yourself isn't going to bring the kid back, so you can't just let one mistake spiral into another mistake. That's not how it works. And it turns into this lovely, beautiful thing, and of course Ray Fiennes is like, you have to kill him, and then he's like, you know what, I'm just not gonna do it. And Ray Fiennes comes to kill him, and it's just, it's funny and it's lovely, and you know, it kind of brings a little tear to your eye. It's a really thoughtful, heartfelt movie. I was every time. Probably watched this like half a dozen times. Every time it manages to make me tear up a little bit. It's very, very good.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It manages to tackle a lot of things in a way that's very elegant and lovely and feels very human. Just a fantastic film if you haven't gotten to see it. It is definitely an awesome one. IMDb gives it a 7.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 213 critics, give it 85%.
Nice.
The audience was... This feels like a movie that would be tough for an audience to digest. This surprised me. 100,000 plus gave it 87%.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, really awesome. And I am a little higher than everybody. I give it a 9 out of 10.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's great.
Such a good movie. Sam really enjoyed it. She was surprised at how much she liked it. It was funny. It was endearing. It just checks all the boxes. Such a human film about something as dark and bleak as taking somebody else's life.
Right. I feel like your description of this feels like this movie could be terrible with like the wrong director or the wrong people behind it.
Yeah, 100%. The wrong writer, the wrong director, not a powerful enough set of performers makes this movie completely fall on its face. But, I mean, when you just take a collection of these, you know what I mean, kind of British actors, British and Irish actors in Colin Farrell's case, and you smush them all together and it's better than any Harry Potter movie.
Wow. Smushed Irish and English. I like it.
Well, I mean, you got Voldemort, you got Mad-Eye Moody, and you have Colin Farrell played, the other older folk who was Dumbledore's opposite, whatever the hell his name was.
Larry,
the cable guy. They're all here. Yeah, that's it. Get her done.
Yeah, not a real cable guy, everybody.
No, he's not.
Not even a real redneck.
Not even a real tow truck.
Jeez.
Just a lot of fake.
Well, speaking of a lot of fake.
Oh, no.
You know, Halloween was a coming.
Oh.
So all the bad horror movies got pushed to the top of my recommended, and some of them looked so terrible, and I go, it's going to be a trauma. And half of them were.
Yep, sounds right.
Including this one, 1986's Nightmare Weekend.
My favorite thing about you watching a trauma is how many times you're like, these are terrible, I hate them, and then you run right back into that wall again.
Because they all have the same intro since like the 70s, and like you know, and you're like, fuck. But I'm like, God, it took me 5 minutes to type it into the two sheets we use, and I'm just like,
I'm committed.
I already wrote it. Max could have seen it.
Yep.
So, Nightmare Weekend. I watched it on the 16th of October, 2023. It's an hour 25. It's going to feel longer. Horror sci-fi is your genre, directed by Henry Sala. Starring Debbie Laster, Dale Midkift, and Deborah Hunter. Your IMDb movie summary, a female scientist performs experiments on three college girls that turn them into drooling, murderous mutants.
Sounds right.
So... Yeah. I just thought the cover was cool. I did the classic 80s VHS thing where I'm like, that cover looks like fun. And it wasn't. I like mutants. Mutants are kind of a fun, like traditional mutants is like a fun kind of device that doesn't get used. It's all zombies anymore. But like mutants are just ugly and malformed and I don't know, like they're not dumb necessarily.
No, it's like the Omega Man.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mutants. Yeah, mutants is the way to go, I think. I think we need more mutants besides Turtles, although that movie ruled. But we need more mutants in our cinemas when I think I learned from this movie, because the mutants are only in this movie for a very, very short amount of time. And
that's trauma. We can only afford 46 seconds of mutants.
It's like, man, you got these women in this the getup. The getup wasn't that terrible. Like, you put some time into it. This is at least 3/4 of your budget. Like, I don't know. What, are they only getting 20 minutes with these women? What are you doing? Yeah, they probably are paying them by the hour. What am I saying?
Yep.
And they're like, we got enough for 1 hour.
Got them out in 46 minutes.
Yeah, this is a weird one. This one just feels bizarre because you're following this. There's a doctor and his assistant. His assistant is kind of going behind his back, and she's the one doing all the evil mutant kind of research. He has good intentions, but he's oblivious to everything. And you follow his daughter who's visiting for like the summer, and she's just like going to the bar and like trying to pick up dudes like way too old for her and starts fights, and for some reason there's a puppet, and I swear to God I'm not making any of this up. It's awful.
No, this sounds like a drama movie.
The character that's a puppet, they just don't acknowledge it. He is a fucking hand puppet always by a TV screen, and
goodness.
I was like, is he an experiment? Is he like a creation? No, he's just a puppet guy that lives in this girl's room, I guess. I don't know. Fucking weird. Anyways, this is not the best trauma movie. I think I did watch the best trauma movie. We'll get there. Yeah, this is some garbage. We don't know how to talk about this no more.
Okay.
IMDb gives it a 3.6 out of 10. Pretty high for a trauma.
Yeah.
The critics did not. The audience at Rotten Tomatoes, 20% from 100 plus.
Okay.
And I Fall in Line, I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Fair enough.
It's a film.
It's long enough to be considered a feature film.
It's nearly the perfect runtime.
Nearly. Couldn't even get that right.
Fucking trauma.
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 I got a horror movie.
Oh, thank God.
It's from the year 2023.
All right.
It is VHS 85.
Whoa.
Not like the 85th VHS movie, but the year 1985.
You think they'll get to 85 of those, though?
It would not surprise me.
Yeah, me either.
I watched this on October 19th of 2023. It is 1 hour and 50 minutes. It is a horror anthology directed by, let me look closely here because there are many directors for it's an anthology, David Bruckner, Scott Derrickson. That's right, that's Scott Derrickson.
Hey.
Natasha Carmani, Mike P. Nelson, and Gigi Saw Guerrero.
Wow.
Starring Freddie Rodriguez, Kelly Garner, and James Ransone. Ransone? Okay. Ransone? I don't know.
Ransone!
Your movie summary, unveiled through a made-for-TV documentary, five tales of found footage horror emerge to take viewers on a terrifying journey into the grim underbelly of the 1980s.
Okay.
It's not a very good description, but the tie-together story is like a, looks like it's akin to an Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay.
Where it's, you're like going through this experiment where there's this like found creature that this group of psychiatrists were studying. And of course, it gets loose at a point towards the end. But it's fine. For a VHS movie, the tie together is not that bad. That's usually the weakest point of the VHS movies, in my opinion. This one had no real standout, like, memorable segment to it. But none of them also had a standout bad memory to them either. Like, I wasn't like, none of these are amazing, but none of these were terrible either. Like, they were all solid.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, it's fine. They get to kind of take their money and make their little segments. It's pretty cool. Scott Derrickson's was a little bit more story intensive than the usual VHS movie. And for the first time, they had a VHS segment take up two different segments. So it was like you saw half of the segment, you thought it was done, and then you saw the other half of the segment, which was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And I love these movies because they're not trying to really like pull any punches or kind of try to polish a turd more than they are. They kind of acknowledge the fact it's like these are just like horror filmmakers. Some are up and coming, some are well established, and they just have like a cool story they want to tell, and it can be told through at least partially the style of found footage, so we're gonna let them have at it. So yeah. If they can make this movie, like make one of the shorts for the probably the same budget as an entire trauma film, and they can do it with a like analog or handheld found footage kind of style to it, then we're just going to let them tell whatever story they want to tell. And I think they've kind of just embraced that pretty well. And now they're just like, yeah, we're going to put these out as we can afford to get the budget together, as we can afford to find filmmakers who want to make a VHS movie. We're going to toss it out there and see what they come back with. It was fine. There was some cool stuff in this. Nothing that was so outrageously interesting. And I was like, oh man, this blew me away. But also, like I said, nothing in there that was just like, wow, this was actual dog doo-doo. This one was probably the safest VHS movie in the lineup of, I think, 6 or 7 of these things now.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. I wasn't sad. The runtime was lean and mean at 150. Like, wasn't so long that it outstayed its welcome. The tie together got a little bloated at a couple points, so like maybe could trim like 2 or 3 minutes out of that, but not much. So on the whole, I'm always pretty excited to see a new one of these drop just because I like to see what people can do just given no restriction.
Yeah. And no hand puppets, which is nice.
No hand puppets in this one. I'm fairly sure that's correct.
Nice.
The previous one had like action figures that like a little kid was playing with. That was really weird. But this one doesn't have any of that.
Like small soldiers.
A little bit, but like just more like a little kid moving them around with his hands and making mouth noises.
Oh, that's the best.
Like me a mouth noise. IMDb. 5.6 pew pews out of 10.
Ooh.
Rotten Tomato critics, 47 of them, 74%.
Okay.
Perhaps that's a good score. Perhaps they're dyslexic. You don't know.
I don't know.
Audience of 100 plus gives it a 71%. And I, who am also dyslexic, I guess, gave it a 6.5 as opposed to IMDb's 5.6.
Well, one of you's got it right.
Somebody's got it.
Yeah.
There's a 5 and a 6 involved.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. But it was all right. Like, nothing to write home about if you're into it. Probably worth watching just because it's a fun watch.
There you go. Yay. That's fun. Yeah. When you gonna do a VHS movie?
Hey, as soon as they give me like $212.86, I'm on it.
All right, and I can sew you a hand puppet if you need.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna make it a mutant. I'm gonna combine my love of mutants and puppets, and we'll get there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. But I got a movie.
Ooh.
You want to hear about it?
I do.
Okay, then. It's from 2022. It's called Samaritan.
Oh, Samaritan. Is this the Sylvester Stallone?
It is.
Okay, okay.
So I watched this on the 22nd of October with the wife. The wife really wanted to watch this, and this movie evaded us for so long. It's an Amazon movie. Every time we started to play it, it would stop working for whatever reason.
Interesting.
And I'm like, we're just destined to never watch this movie. Like, literally, we've tried, I don't know how many times, a dozen times, and the movie would not play. Finally, the movie worked. I don't know what's up with that, but whatever. Movie finally works. So this movie would have been on here probably 60 episodes ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just, every now and again, we'd come back like, I wonder if this movie works now. What the hell? But anyways, it's an hour 42, action drama fantasy, directed by Julius Avery, starring Sylvester Stallone, Javon Wana Walton, and Pilau Azbek. Your IMDb movie summary. A young boy learns that a superhero who was thought to have died after an epic battle 25 years ago may, in fact, still be alive. So, yeah, this movie's kind of dark. Like, this kid gets the shit kicked out of him all the time. Like, his life sucks. He lives in the projects, and he's getting beat up, and he's trying to avoid gunrunners and drug dealers and gangbangers and all that stuff. And this kid is just getting the shit kicked out of him all the time. One of the neighbors in his apartment complex, he sees kind of survive a thing that seems a little unbelievable, and he thinks he's obsessed with the superhero. Like, the whole city loved him, but he perished fighting his supervillain a billion years ago. Pretty cool idea, just old man superhero played by Stallone. My first bullet point, and I said this when we were watching the movie, because this movie is, like, good, but not that great, and I turned to my wife, I go, man, if I was 12, this would be the coolest thing I've ever seen.
That's valid.
Yeah, it definitely has that, like, guilty pleasure kind of thing. Like, if you went back and watched it when you're older, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know. But it's a lot of the shit we've seen before, but, like, it has some cool moments. It has some really cool effects. His superpower is he's just strong, basically. He's impervious to most weapons. But now he's old, so it doesn't work so good. And it just goes way over the top. It's way campy, way mustache twirly at times. But I think that it does a good job of just portraying hopelessness in the city, in the kids, in the people just living in his apartment complex. I think the fights, when they happen, are awesome, but they're very few and far between. And I think Stallone does a good job in this one. There's some good dramatic parts. He actually nails it pretty good. There is a very cool twist at the end of the movie. I was able to predict it, but I'm always looking for that weird thing to happen, you know?
You are indeed.
I love it. I'm like, I hope this happens. And my wife's like, that wouldn't happen. And then it happened. So, and if you're familiar with Julius Avery, it would be because Max has reviewed one of his movies too, which was Overlord.
Overlord.
Yeah, Overlord.
Yeah, that was a fine direction in that film.
Yeah, and I think he does a good job here. I just think it's geared a little more towards like that action movie for like a teenager more than us adults.
Fair enough.
So IMDb, they give this a 5.7. The critics of Rotten Tomatoes, there's 120 of them, give it 38%.
Mm.
The audience, all 12-year-old kids, 1,000 plus of them, give it 71%. They love this shit.
Mm.
And me and the wife, we're very close. The wife had a 5.5 and I had a 6. I think it's a serviceable movie for a younger audience with a little bit of grit and a little bit of edge. And I think it's important to have movies like that.
I think that's well said.
Yeah.
Woohoo. We did it.
We done did another one. Yay.
Yay. Now we gotta do more.
Oh, right. We didn't finish all the movies.
No.
Ah, shit. There's like 30 billion traumas left.
Yeah.
They're all yours, buddy.
Oh, no.